As we're rolling along here from Fenway Park, the number keeps going up, $2,029,000. And in fact, I think that number will get updated even again within the next 15 or 20 minutes or so. Gresham Keefe here with you. And joining us here at Fenway, Mark Singer from Barrington, Rhode Island.
How about
I
that?
Know where that is. Okay. I play Rhode Island Country Club for free all the time. Exclusive free golf, Mark.
Good
there you go. Anaplastic thyroid cancer.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah. So June of 2020, I noticed a little lump on my neck. Thought it was little lymph nodes swollen or something like that. And like you've heard from everybody else here, right? Middle of COVID, went to see my doctor. I had a sore throat, coughing a little bit. They said, you can't come in here. You got COVID. You got a problem. So I had to take a COVID test before they would even let me into the clinic to look at what happened. And they sent me home. We'll take your test. They sent me home. And that was the day when it took 10 days to get your COVID test back. So day 9, I called my doctor and said, this is crazy. I got this thing on my neck and it's growing. It's getting bigger every day, and I can't even get into a clinic. So he said, get in your car. I got in my car, and I drove to Brigham, and I checked in at the Brigham. I looked up best cancer hospitals in New England. Dana-Farber popped up. My doctor said, check yourself into the ER at Brigham. And so I went in. 4 hours later, COVID negative, and they went to work on me. And so surgery in a week. They ended up taking about a pear-sized tumor out of my neck. And about 25 lymph nodes in my neck. Anaplastic thyroid cancer is a metastatic cancer, so it grows very quickly and it spreads in your body quickly. So the key for me was to get to the right surgical team and the right oncology team in the network, get through the surgery, get as much of the cancer out of my body, and get me on immunotherapy as quick as possible.
Now, you were at risk of losing your voice, right, during all of this?
I did. I lost my voice. Part of my surgery was when they took the tumor out of my neck, is I lost the nerve going down the side of my neck. So I lost my voice. But
so
they
how do you
knew
prepare
that.
Yourself for that?
Well, they knew it going in. They knew it was going to happen. So coming out, I remember waking up, and I remember I couldn't talk. I just had like this very rough voice. And they said, well, we can figure this out. Let's get you healed. Let's get you out of the hospital, get you started immunotherapy. And they hooked me up with a doctor at the Brigham who was doing this kind of pioneering throat surgery where they inject, it's a combination of hyaluronic acid and silk enzymes, like from silkworms.
Wow.
They inject that into your vocal fold and so that your vocal cords can touch again. And I woke up, got out of surgery, and in 24 hours I had my voice back.
Wow.
You know, I went from, you know, sounding like this raspy old guy that smoked for 50 years to back to being me. And I was patient number 9. So I was the 9th person to go through that surgery, and they've done about 250 of them now. But I'm one of the first patients to make it through 18 months now, and I'm going back in September, and I'll probably be the first 24-month patient that's had success with the surgery.
How tough was it dealing with your situation while dealing with COVID? Because there's nothing you could do about the restrictions, and I know you kind of mentioned that in terms of telling your story.
Yeah. I think the hardest part was that nobody could be with me, right? So I remember surgery day. You know, my wife dropped me off at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I walked into the Brigham, and you're by yourself, right? And I was by myself in terms of my support network, but I was there with my whole care team, my whole nursing network, right? Everybody was there with me, but they didn't hear anything until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, I had a radical neck dissection, and they were all just waiting to hear from the doctor. But you know, normally somebody'd be waiting for you in the ER. They'd be at the recovery room, and nobody was there. So, but I remember the doctor telling me, he said, you know, you go through all the whole surgical protocols, and they kind of knew what they were going to do. They had done all of the evaluation early on. So the combined care team that they put together in this network is unbelievable. And I remember the doctor saying to me, he said, Mark, the best thing that can happen to you is that you wake up right here. You know, when they said you wake up right here and you see that clock on the wall and you see your name on that board and you wake up right here. And I just remember coming out of anesthesia going, oh, I just want to see my name. I want to see my name. I want to see my name. And I woke up and there it was. So I knew that the best outcome had happened. Mm-hmm. But to your point, right, it's tough to be there through everything on your own. For my whole year of immunotherapy, right, driving to the Brigham, right, checking in, going through my checkup, my program, my immunotherapy, but nobody could be there with you. So you're transcribing, you're talking to people, you're taking notes. I have a notebook from every single visit that I made, and I took notes to everybody I talked to and everything going on with me, so that I could memorialize it. Tough experience during the height of COVID.
It had to be tough for your family too. A lot of them are here today, so they're able to be here now. But that obviously must have been really difficult for them, just to kind of see you off and just waiting for hours until they got in contact with
and you worrying about them, worrying
both.
About you, and you worrying about you. Oh my God, what a just a mind screw.
How are you feeling today? And I know you said you're going back in again in September, but how are things?
So I am great. I am healed. Anaplastic thyroid cancer is a really, really rare. It's a deadly metastatic disease. Early on, we were talking about kind of what the prognosis was, and the reality hits it very quickly when they say the average life expectancy after being diagnosed with ATC is 6 months. Like, those are the tough conversations, right? So, I talked to my wife and talked to my kids and said, "Listen, guys, we got to get on this train and we're plowing through it, because I'm not going to be that 6 month guy. I'm not going to be that 12 month guy. I'm going to make my way through this." And I'm 2 years out now, and only about 3 or 4% of the people that have anaplastic thyroid cancer make it out 2 years. So I'm there, right? But I'm not done.
Right.
I got a lot of Christmases left. I got a lot of birthdays left. And but it's a small community. The anaplastic thyroid cancer community is real small. There's only 1,000 cases every year that are diagnosed. But the team at Dana, they knew how to get at this, right? They've been doing clinical trials. They had been doing the drug therapy program with other types of thyroid cancer. And they said, "Mark, this can work for you. We think it can work for you."
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And let's hope the train keeps going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Mark Singer, thank you for your story and
thank
the time today. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks guys.
No, that's a great story. And it goes, by the way, to show the power of Google, too. When you Google best
cancer
hospitals in New England.
Don't Google certain things. You don't like the results. But that was one where the results kind of worked out.
It worked out well for him to Google.